Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Well, somebody say Jesus.
I want you to turn your Bibles as you're standing just really quick to the book of Acts chapter 27. I want to thank God today for my salvation. It was 20 years ago, April 28th, 1998, where I came into that victory home, to that men's home there in the city of Hayward. And I didn't come on my own, I'll tell you that. There was people that were praying for me. One of the persons that was praying for me was an aunt. I had an aunt that got saved in San Jose. And so she got saved and she came after me. And then I also have a friend that's here today. I'm not going to point her out today. Come on, somebody. But she's here, and she knows who she is. And she went into the woman's home a few years before I went into the men's home. And also Pastor Chucky, who's in South Africa out there, that's a friend that we grew up with. And so how many know somebody prayed you in? Amen. Somebody prayed you in, man. And so, you know, the rest is history, pretty much. You know, we've been pastoring the church for 12 years. There in Fremont in the Bay Area, and then also I've been married for 5 years, praise God. And yeah, before you clap, praise the Lord, I thought I was spiritual before I got married, praise the Lord. And then I found out, you'll get that on the way home, then I found out that I needed a lot of work, praise the Lord. Anyway, I'll stay focused today. Right here in the book of Acts chapter 27, we're going to begin reading in verse 17. We're going to jump around a little bit, then I'm going to let you sit down. The Bible says this in Acts 27, verse 17. It kind of starts mid-sentence. It says, so the men hoisted it abroad, talking about an anchor. Then they passed ropes under the ship, say under, itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Citrus. They lowered the sea anchor. Somebody say the sea anchor.
Sea anchor.
Verse 18 says, we took such a violent battering from the storm. How many have ever took a violent battering from the storm? A few of you, okay. Praise God. Amen. And it goes on to say, on verse 19, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Someone say their own hands. And when the sun and the stars did not appear, in other words, it was such a mean storm that they could not even see the sky. It says, we finally gave up. Mm-mm-mm. Gave up in the storm. Verse 21, it says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up and he began to tell them. Verse 22, he said, now I urge you to keep up your courage. Come on, somebody. Someone say courage. Because not one of you will be lost. How many appreciate that? He said, only the ship will be destroyed. Verse 23 says, last night an angel came to me. God came to me, in other words. And he began to say to me, don't be afraid. So in other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying right here in this portion of Scripture is he's saying that your purpose is bigger than the storm. You'll get that later. Go down to verse 29. It says, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, we dropped four anchors. Someone say four anchors. Father, bless your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You could go ahead and be seated here today. And I want to talk to you for a few moments this afternoon about four anchors. I want to talk to you today about how important it is for you to have anchors in your life. How important it is for every one of us to be anchored. It's important for your family to be anchored. It's important for you and your marriage to be anchored. Because sooner or later, like this portion of scripture that we read here, you're going to go through a storm. I'm in a stormless church today. I said, you're going to go through a storm. You're going to have to talk back to me a little bit here today. They said this part of the United States is known as the 12th man. Is that what they tell me? That's what I see, 12 everywhere. So what that means, the crowd is like a mean participator. Is that crowd here today? Hey, if I had a Seahawks jersey on and I was going back to pass, you'd be like, I'll be nice, but you got to participate, man. I need you to kind of just like throw me an amen here and there. You got to just throw a shout. If you like something you hear, just, you don't have to stand up and point at me like that, but just say, hey, praise God. That's letting me know that I'm in the right vein. You're letting me know that I'm going down the right track a little bit. That's letting me know that I'm treading on some waters here. And if it's convicting, just say, ouch. Oh, ouch, Pastor, stop. Because I have a feeling today that if you really grab a hold of this simple message here today, and I'm not going to have you here all afternoon. Come on, somebody. They said we're going to be watching a football game later, perhaps. Yeah, and just having a good old time. And I love to have good old time, so praise God. But we're going to have a great time right now. Someone say amen. Amen. I was reading a story, and I found this pretty amazing. There in Oracle, Arizona, they had built like a huge building. And it was like, I guess you can say it was like a big giant bubble. In other words, 8 scientists had went into this environment that they created. And for 2 years, they began to just see if they could live there. And what they did, according to this report, was they created their own rainforest. They created their own desert. They created even an ocean. It was crazy. Inside of this bubble-like environment, they even created, they were growing their own food. They were living there for 2 years. And as I kept reading on, I found something fascinating, because one thing they failed to create. And one thing they failed to create was they failed to create wind, and they failed to create storms. And what had happened is they noticed that all the trees that they were trying to grow were not growing straight, but they were leaning over. The bushes that were supposed to be blossoming and growing and beautiful were now sapping over, and they looked dead. And so they had to make an adjustment, but they never made it. So what is the moral of that story? The moral of that story is we need. You know where I'm going today. You'll wake up in a minute. Winds and storms have to be in an environment in order for something to grow right. So instead of looking at the storms, and instead of looking at the winds, and instead of looking at the trials, and instead of looking at all that turbulation happening within your life, oh, God, why God? Why God? Like God's some cynical God up there just having a great time at your expense. That's not God. God will allow turmoil. God will allow winds. God will allow, how many of you will allow some storms in your life? Come on, somebody. Not to harm you, not to hurt you, but for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to grow you. Ooh, you ain't hearing me today. He's just growing you. Yeah. Tell your neighbor he's growing you. Oh, God, quit trying to grow me, though. Quit trying to grow me, though. God, thank you, but no thank you. Oh, he's just trying to grow you right now. He's got some plans and a purpose for your life, but where he's trying to take you, you can't be a fair-weather Christian nowadays. You can't be a surface Christian nowadays. Just with the Victory Outreach t-shirt and the Victory Outreach Bible and the Victory Outreach flyer and the Victory Outreach bumper sticker and the Victory Outreach flag and this and that. Come on, somebody. It's not going to cut it nowadays. But God is looking for some genuine, honest. I tell my church, I'm a hot mess. And they look at me like you're looking at me right now. What? And all I'm saying is I go through it too. Come on, somebody. I'm raising a family too. I'm taking my kids to soccer practice too. I'm getting up in the morning and taking them too. I go through the same trials that you go through too. Come on, somebody. But I've chosen 20 years ago. I made up my mind that when God got me out of jail and he put me inside that, you ain't hearing me today. When I said, God, if you get me out of this mess, if you get me out of here, I will serve you forever. And how many know God came through on his end of the bargain, baby? And I found myself in that men's home. Oh, Jesus. That home. Oh, my God, that home. I'm not going to get into it. Where's the home today? Where's the home? Where are you at? You're all over the place. Yeah, great. Stay there. And it was there that I made up my mind. I said, God, I'll do whatever it takes. And how many know those storms of life come? The challenges of life come? The temptations of life come? But there's something about a made-up mind. And there's something about a heart that decides that I'm not going back to where I used to be, man. And I'm gonna withstand these storms. I'm gonna do what I need to do. Come on, somebody. Yeah? And I'm gonna let God do whatever he needs to do within my life. What I find fascinating about this sermon here in our opening scripture here today is that Paul does three things to tell us how to make it through a storm. Number one, he tells us how to make it through a storm. He says, you got to brace up. Someone say, brace up. He says, brace up. And we see here that when the storm was coming, they had to brace up. In the Bible days, these sailors that were on these ships, they didn't have scuba diving equipment. They didn't have goggles. They didn't have, what's those things on your feet? Those things, flippers, swim. They didn't have none of that. You know what they did? They just grabbed the rope, and then they would just jump off the ship. They had to climb under the ship. They had to come up the other side of the ship and put the rope up, get the rope up somehow, and then they would take it, and they would bring it to the other side, and he would have to do the same thing over and over and over and over again to what? To brace up that ship. To make sure everything was locked, to make sure that we're getting ready to go through something that we've never gone through before, but I'm gonna make sure that my ship is braced up. Listen, I may be going through all hell and high water. What? Did he just say that? Yeah, all hell and high water within my life. But one thing I know for sure is that I'm not going to fall apart during this storm. I'm not going to give up during this storm. But as a matter of fact, I'm going to brace up. Someone say brace up. Brace up. Tell your neighbor, brace up. Come on, somebody. And they would undergird this ship. That's a powerful illustration for you and I here today because it lets us know how you and I should prepare and brace up in our own life. What should we brace up? Number one, you should brace up your mind. Brace up your mind with what? With the Word of God. Someone say the Word of God. You need to declare the Word of God in your circumstances. You need to declare. Someone say declare it. In other words, speak that Word of God into your life. This is what I tell myself when I'm going through a storm. Come on, somebody. I quote Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. And the Bible says that the end of a matter is better than the beginning of a matter. And a patient spirit is better than a proud one. You ain't hearing me today. I quote Jeremiah 29, 11. Come on now. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you and to give you a hope and a future. Some translations say a future filled with hope. Get your mind off the storm. Tell your neighbor, get your mind off the storm. Here's another one I quote. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says that no one shall stand against you. I like that one. Some of you need to claim that one. All the days of your life. He goes on to say, as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. Here's the clincher. I will never leave you. That's a good one right there, boy. See, if you don't brace up with the Word of God, I'm going to tell you right now, fear will creep in. Worry will creep in. Depression will creep in, and they will overtake you. Here's my advice to you here today. Don't run from church. You should be running to church. Should I go there? I don't know. I don't know. Isn't it strange how the last place we run to is church? When we're going through it, got quiet today. Should I keep going? I'm trying to feel you out. Because all we'd be doing is talking about the ones that aren't here right now. You're here. You chose to be here today. Come on, it's afternoon. I know what time it is. Yeah, it's you. You love God if you're here right now. I don't care what anybody says. Like, don't let anybody tell you you don't love God. Come on, somebody. You are here at 12:30. Come on now. Give yourself a good hand.
You may be going through a storm. You may be going through some things, but you chose, come on somebody, not to stay home in the comfort, but you chose, I need to get to the house of God. Someone say, I'm bracing up today. That's what you're doing. You're bracing up right now. Come on, somebody. The word is going out. You're getting it, and God is going to do something in your circumstance. Another thing he told the people on the ship where he's telling us here today is he's telling you to cheer up. Smile at me a little bit today. Smile. Some of you still want to mad dog me right now. Come on, just smile, man. Hey, it could be worse. It could be worse. Come on, somebody. You could be in the hospital right now. It could be worse. I could go off on that for a while, but for somehow God is his mercy and his grace is upon you. Come on, somebody. You should have lost your mind a long time ago. I should be in a padded cell right now, in a straitjacket, popping happy pills every 10 minutes. You ain't hearing me. It could be a lot worse here today. Maybe it wasn't you, but maybe it was that son or that daughter that got you here to the house of God. It could have been worse. Could have been a lot worse. I got saved. My mom never broke a plate in her life, but yet when I came into that home, there she was. I looked back one day, and she was sitting there just broken at Victory Outreach. Come on, somebody. And our church was full of cholos and just crazy and crazy people. And I was like, my mom will never come to our church. Like, my mom, she'll never. I don't think she will. But you know what? God surprised us. Come on, somebody. When she knew her son was trying to change and get right, come on, somebody. Someone began to reach out to her. And then she came to a life group. Someone seen that she was new, and they tricked her. They told her, come to a barbecue. My mom was all down for the barbecue. She brought potato salad. She came, and it didn't take her long before she discovered, they got me. That's what she said. That's her quote. They got me. I said, what do you mean they got you? Well, they started breaking out with their Bibles. They started doing a Bible. She goes, I would have never went there if I knew it was going to be a Bible study. I said, hey, God knows what he's got to do. Barbecue got you, girl, you know? And one of the sisters started telling her, because my mom was always negative, you know, like so negative all the time. Like this was negative. And I grew up with that in my mind. Like nothing ever good could happen to our family. You know, we always get the short end of the stick. If a bullet were to go off in a crowd, guess who would catch the bullet? Our family. If we were ever, you know, like nothing good ever happens to our family. Right? It always happens to the neighbors. It happens to the boy down the street. It happens to this family. But nothing good could ever happen. I grew up with that kind of mindset. And so one of the sisters discerned it, and she started telling her, you need to cheer up. I said, no, you. What are you so like? Didn't you just tell me that your son was a drug addict and that he was messed up and that her biggest fear was to come out in the morning on her way to work and to find me dead on her porch? That was her whole thing. Could you imagine waking up every morning, going to work, and thinking you were going to see your son dead on her porch? What kind of life is that? And that was going through her mind, and she had to remind my mom, cheer up, sister. Isn't he in the home? And he's not just in the home, but he looks like he's doing good in the home. Come on, somebody. And then my mom started getting cheered up, and she started getting victory in her life. Come on, somebody. She started... And then they told her, I'm going, but I'm trying to cheer you up today. I'm trying to cheer somebody up here. I'm trying to give you some hope and some life here today. Because then they said this, they told her, you can't come and see him in the home. This was back in the day. Can't come and see him in the home until you come to church. And then they told me to tell her. I go, I'm not telling her that. There is no way in heaven I am telling my mom that. And then the director had wisdom. He goes, we'll tell her together. So I was like super, like, I was weird all week because I knew we had to talk to my mom. And, you know, right after the visit, they talked to her. And I was praying, man. And then the director's wife said, listen, Linda, we know that you come and you support your son. And we think that is awesome. The men that come in and get backing from their family, we notice that they really have a percentage of them really make it, man. And we want you to have that with your son. However, we notice that you don't come to church.
We notice that you just come here to bring them food and socks and t-shirts and underwear, because my mom said she would bring me anything you want, just don't leave. That was her motto, just don't leave. And so, and she said, but we want you to start coming to church now because it's important that you grow with him. And I closed my eyes, I'm not kidding you, I was like, oh God, here it is. And she said, okay. I was like, what's my point? My point is that some of us need to cheer up today. You need to cheer up. Tell your neighbor, cheer up, man. Yeah, I know some things bring us to Christ. They bring us into the house, and we have needs, and there's things that are driving us here, and we need God. Come on, somebody. And there's family issues. There's marital issues. There's this issue. There's career issues. We all got our smorgasbord of issues here today, but I'm here to tell you this morning that some of us need to cheer up. First of all, you need to brace up. You also need to cheer up. Come on, somebody, because God is in control.
Yes.
I said it earlier in my prayer, but listen to this. It's not what you're going through.
Yes.
Listen carefully. It's what you're going to.
Yeah.
And you got to keep your eye on that. Take your eye off the storm and get them on what you're going to. What time is it right now? Don't matter. Praise God. Number three. Okay, we're good. Yeah, we're good. Just give me about 10 more minutes. Not only brace up and cheer up, but you need to lighten up. The Bible says with their own hands, someone say with their own hands, they begin to throw stuff off the ship. They begin to throw it off. There's some things today God is telling you, you need to start throwing it off. All those insecurities. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Self-doubt. Negativity. Nothing good ever happens to me. You need to throw it off. Tell your neighbor, throw it off. Insufficiency. You need to get that thing and throw it off. I'm not smart enough. I'm not this enough. And nothing. See all that? Right? We say that, and the enemy's there playing on it. Insufficiency, insecurity. How about this one? Insignificance. No one wants you. No one needs you. You're not the right part, and the enemy's there, and you need to throw that off your boat today. It's holding you back. It's dragging you down. You're in the storm, and you got all this heavy extra weight upon your life, and God is telling me to tell you here today that you need to throw some stuff off, that today you're going to walk out of this place delivered. Today you're going to walk out of this place better. Someone say better. You ain't hearing me. Better. Let me give you these four anchors, and then we're going to. Then I'm going to pray for you here today. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Smile at me then. Yeah, there you go. See, you're getting your breakthrough already, man. I tell my church, you guys, my church is, they're moody. Yeah, they really are. And then my wife goes, well, the church takes after the pastor. And I was like, I said, submit, woman, submit. Don't. Yeah, they're moody, right? Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to get when I walk in sometimes, but you guys are good today. You're cheering up, you're bracing up, and you're doing good. I'm going to give you four anchors, and I'm going to pray for you here today. The Bible says that he instructed them to throw four anchors out. One of the anchors that we need to have within our life, if we're going to withstand the storms of life, is you got to have the anchor of purpose within your life. Someone say purpose.
Purpose.
Yeah, you got to have a purpose. See, I'm here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. God chose you out of everybody in your family. Why do you think he did that? He chose you because you have a purpose. When I think about where God has brought me from, I look back and say, man, why did you pick me, God? And God says, because I have a purpose for you. You see, your purpose is bigger than the storm that you're going through. That was good. That was good. That just kind of rolled off today. That was good. Your purpose, someone say, my purpose is bigger than the storm that you're going through. See, purpose doesn't change the storm, but remember, there's two things about purpose. Number one is purpose predates your conception. In other words, Jeremiah 1:5 tells us, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as prophet over the nations. Another thing about a purpose is that your purpose was planned without your input. So God didn't ask you for your opinion, for your purpose. Well, I want to be like you, and I want to be like her, and I want to sing like him, but you can't sing. Well, I want to preach like that, but you, no. I want to look like him. Oh, man. I'm looking at this picture. I see my grays coming in. I'm like, wow, I'm tripping out. Like, wow. You ever just look at yourself sometimes and go, man, what the heck? Do I really look like that? Because in your own mirror, you look good, right? Come on, somebody. But God don't need your input. God doesn't need your 2 cents. Come on, somebody. God put something in you. Listen carefully now. And when you discover what it is, you'll be unstoppable. When you discover why God created you and you discover your purpose in life, come on, somebody, you won't try to be like him. You won't try to be like her. You'll be satisfied with who you are. Come on, somebody. And you'll look at yourself. You'll think value in your own life. Come on. And you'll be unstoppable. Could you imagine that? You'll be like laser beam sharp. I like that. Just like, you'll know why God created you, man. Yeah, God created me and you for his purpose. Yes, he's called me to do what I do, okay? But also he's called me to be a husband. He's called me to be a father. He's called me to be, you know, an example. He's called me to be a leader. He's called me to do a lot of things, just like he's calling you to do a lot of things. It doesn't mean that what you do, that what we do up here is more valuable than what you do down there. Come on, somebody. Because when you find out why God has created you, when you find out why God chose you, when you find out, you ain't hearing me today. Champions focus on what they're going to, and losers focus on what they're going through. How many champions do we have in the house? Oh, man. Another anchor you need to have in your life is the anchor of courage. Somebody say courage. Because when you're going through a storm, you got to courage up. Come on, somebody. You got to courage up. You gotta be able to have that kind of courage that the Apostle Paul was saying here. He told all the men and women in that ship, he said, get some courage. God personally told Joshua 3 or 4 times to be courageous. Stop falling to pieces every time you go through a storm. Stop falling apart. Come on, somebody. Can I just talk to you a little bit? We're all right. Stop whining. I'm treading on delicate ground right now. I'm trying to fill you out. I'm leaving today, so I don't really, I do care, but I kind of don't care because I'm really trying to help you out. Yeah? Because it's time. God's trying to raise up strong church. I see a great potential here. I see great. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a little excited about what I see here today. Yeah? Music. You guys got great music. Come on, somebody. You got a great atmosphere. You got people that come to church at 12:30. You love God. Come on. I don't see anybody looking at their phones right now. Come on, somebody. Right? But you gotta have that courage, man. You gotta drop your anchor in some courage today. Yeah? Anchor down in courage. Courage up. Tell your neighbor to courage up. Hashtag courage up, man. Yeah, we don't whine. Come on, somebody. We don't have a meltdown every time something happens. We know that God is in control. We know that God has the final say. And in this storm of life, I'm not focused on what I'm going through, but I'm focused on what I'm going to, because I have a purpose in my life. I have a family to raise. I have a marriage to work on. And I have a life to manage here. But there's no way I could do that if I'm not anchored in courage. How many know it takes courage to get up every day? Ooh, man, it takes courage to get up without no medication, without a happy pill, talk to me, without a drink,
without a smoke, without a, oh, we have kids here. It was Victory Outreach, right? Without any help, I'll say that. Without any medication, just to get up. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage to get in your car and go to work. It takes courage to get to work on time. It takes courage to give your heart to your job. It takes courage to then, with to do ministry. It takes courage to get up here and play when you don't feel like playing. Oh, could you imagine if the piano guy was like, I ain't feeling it today. Sorry, Pastor Eric, but I just ain't feeling it. That's how some of us are. I ain't feeling it. Y'all, I ain't going today. Well, what happened? I just don't feel it. Could you imagine if he didn't feel it? Could you imagine if the drummer didn't feel it? Could you imagine if the two, he was slapping that bass like, Mary Jane. I see you. Oh, that was the wrong song to sing in this. You just brought it out of me. I don't know. What's up? You just brought that stuff out of me. Like, I haven't sang that song since I was 10. Someone say courage up, man. I'll move on. Next point kind of ties into what I just said. That you need to be anchored in worship. Someone say worship.
Worship.
See, worship is what Christians do in a storm. That's just what we do. That's who we are. Yeah. Even when I don't see you. Even when I don't feel you. See, I can't sing, but I don't care. Come on, somebody. I really don't care. Because when I worship God, I don't worship him out of talent, and I don't worship him out of a gift. I worship him out of a thankful heart for what he's done for me. And even when my circumstances tell me, don't lift up your hands, and even when my circumstances tell me, you can't sing, and even when my circumstances tell me, don't go to church, and even when my circumstances tell me, don't do certain things, you know what I do? I slap those voices away from my ear, and I say, no, because all that madness didn't save me. God saved me, and I'm not worshiping the band. I'm not worshiping any man, but I'm worshiping God who came through for me 20 years ago. And that's who I worship. Come on, somebody. And that's what we do. Someone say, that's what we do. Let me just tell you this. Worship is God's address. The greatest thing you could do in a storm is worship. Come on, somebody. It's been a bad week. Guess what? Worship. It's been a bad day. Guess what? Worship. It's been a bad morning. Guess what? Worship. This is where we need to be. Which brings me to my last point. Which is an exciting point. You could come on up, man. Just to let them know I'm serious. But you need to be anchored to church. Someone say church.
Church.
Yeah, you need to be anchored to church. I need to be anchored to church. See, when you get in trouble and you're anchored to church, you can't run far. It's like picture an anchor right here on this pulpit. And then picture a little bit of a rope. And I could try to go far, but I keep coming back because I'm anchored. Don't minimize this point here today, because this is probably the most important thing you'll hear today. Is you got to be anchored to church. When I began to anchor my life to God's house, my life got better. Overnight, my life got better. My family's life got better. Yeah, I came into the home. My daughter was 4 years old. I thought I'd never see her again. That's what I thought. But my home director kept telling me, no, just we're going to believe God together. He said, cheer up. Didn't God already bring your mom back? I said, yeah, he sure did. He said, then God ain't done with you.
Yes.
said, we're going to believe God together for your daughter. I didn't know where she lived. I didn't know where they were at. I found out later they were living in a Motel 6. Hotel? Motel. Or was it a Holiday Inn? Come on, somebody. It was, what is it? It's a, for real, motel? I don't know. Doesn't matter. They were living in a motel, and her mom was with some rugged gang member, little guy. And this dude was fierce. He was doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And you know, one day, I got a call, and they began to tell me that my daughter was moving back to Northern California. But what if I wasn't anchored? What if I would have left? What if I would have let my emotions get the best of me? What if I would have let the fact that I got disappointed many times in serving God overtake me? What would have happened to me and eventually my family had I just let some little storm get the best of me? What's my point? My point is that I was anchored in God's house. And now guess what? My kids are anchored. I got 5 kids. 5 kids. Come on. 25, 18, 16, 13, and a 3-year-old. We're still believing God for the 3-year-old, but she's coming along. I said, I see the woman's home in the future for you, sister. Just kidding. Just kidding. Kidding, not kidding. But my kids, our oldest daughter, to God be the glory, is a gang girl regional right there in the Bay Area region. The 4-year-old I told you about, she's now 25. And she's a gang girl regional, works with all the gang girls in the region. Our 18-year-old, we're still, she's there. She's trying to get away, but the anchor got her. The anchor done got her. She tries to. Why can't I move? Because you're done anchored, girl. You can't go nowhere. You're already marked. This girl sings. Let me tell you right now. This girl could sing. I'm not kidding you, and I'm not lying to you. This girl, I'm going to tell you right now, she is, you're going to see someday. I'm going to say, Tacoma, I'm going to stand up at conference. Remember I told you? That's her. This girl was like, phew. And then the 2 Sons of Thunder, I call them. The Sons of Thunder, 16 and 13. These dudes are the most handsome boys, I'm going to tell you right now. Handsome. And they know it. But they're anchored. They're anchored. One of them went to San Diego for the summer with his grandpa. Came back with $1,000 working. Come on, somebody. But while he was there for 3 weeks, guess what? He was in church. He would text us, I'm going to church this morning. I don't know how he got there. He'd start texting people from the church, and they would come pick him up. But he was there Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday. Come on, somebody. 13 years old, in another city, working with his grandpa, going to church. How many do that? Why? Because he's anchored. The anchor done got him. Come on, somebody. That's why it's important, because it's not about us anymore. It's not about us anymore, but it's about the legacy that we're going to leave. That's why some of us, this may be hard to swallow, but this, I got to tell you this. Come on, I'm Uncle Anthony right now. Some of us need to stop hop, skipping, and jumping in church and just missing whenever we want. These are the years you and your family need to be here. Someone say amen. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. You and I need to be here. These are the years that we need to be in the house of God, anchoring ourselves here. Come on, somebody. There's just some problems in your family that money can't fix. There's just some problems that counseling can't fix. There's just some problems that your job can't fix. There's just some problem that the soccer field can't fix. There's just some problems that this outside, but they're only fixed here in the house of God. There's only some things. Come on, somebody. True restoration only happens in the house of God. True purpose is only preached in the house of God.
true. That's why you can't miss this point here today. I like what David said in Psalms chapter 73, verse 16. He said, when I try to understand all of this, it just became too troublesome for me. He said, then I went over to the house of God. And then my destiny, I finally understood. You got to be anchored. Don't you thank God you're anchored?
Amen. Come on now.
Huh? I thank God he's anchored. Come on up, worship team. You guys come on up, man. Yeah. I really felt in my heart of hearts that I needed to preach this message to you today, Victory Outreach Tacoma, because the church here, I feel, after being here, is at a really good place. You're at a really good place. But you're also at a critical place where there's some of us here today, not all of us, but maybe some of us, okay, that you're like, you got one foot here, but then you got one foot out here, and it's hard for you. You're still trying to figure it out, and that's okay. But we need everybody moving in the same direction now. Everybody moving in the same direction. It's not about position. It's not about prestige. It's not about who's up here. It's not about who's down here. It's not about any of that. So just wipe that away right now, because we got one mission. And one mission here in Victory Outreach Tacoma is to start inviting people to come to church, whether they're your coworkers, whether they're your family, whether it's just you. Maybe you're deciding, I just need to bring my rear end of church. It gets quiet sometimes. I just need to bring myself. I need to be here every week. That's my thing. Is I'm going to even if the kids are acting crazy. See ya. Deuces. That's what we had to start doing with our kids. So you ain't ready? I'm out. And then when we came home with all like smelling like food and pizza and all. And then they were like, well, what are we going to eat? I said, I don't know. You should have went to church. You should have went to church. You know how we do it when we go to church? We go to church and we eat. You just saved me $50 by not going to church. Maybe next week you'll go to sleep early and you'll have your behind in that car. Because you know that bike you wanted? I ain't buying it for you. All that's shut down. I ain't buying you that bike unless you start going to church. That new Xbox thing you want? You could just forget about that. That's all I talk. We shut them down. That phone bill that's due on the first? What phone bill? You gotta get to church, man. We started operating like that, and pretty soon those little 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 13-year-olds, they started getting up, making sure that we have two services in the morning, 8:30 and 10:30. That means they had to be up early. They were like this in the car, sleeping on the way to church. My wife even let some of them just sleep in the car for the first service. At least they're here. You get the picture. But that's where we're at here. We're all taking a step forward today. You got your anchor. I could see it. You got your anchor over your shoulder. You're like, I'm dropping it right here. I'm going to get anchored in the house of God today. I want you to close your eyes right where you're at.